Buenas and half a day to our listeners on Guam and in the CNMI. It's now time for Total Health right here on Joy FM Radio, where your questions get answered by health professionals. If you have any health-related questions, we would love to hear from you. Call your questions and comments in at 472-1111 or text or WhatsApp 686-9999. If you're in the CNMI, please call 323-1113. Welcome, everybody, to Total Health.
Well, there we are again with more of Total Health. Today, our radio show is live and I am back. If you have been missing my voice, I enjoyed my trip to New Zealand. I was able to regroup myself with God and enjoy the nature and, you know, the ocean. And now I'm back refreshed for all our listeners, for all our friends. And today I have a very, very special topic. I believe you would really, really like it. We have spoken about art before in a different sense. We have spoken about how you can love people, which is the most artistic thing that Van Gogh says. We have spoken also how creativity can help us express our love and we can grow in love even more. But we have never had before a living artist in our radio show. Let me introduce Joyce Wilkins. She is an artist. She's the wife of Dr. Keith Wilkins that works at the SDA clinic right now. And we don't have many artists in Guam, although we have some local artists that are pretty good. You know, they do a lot of woodwork, a lot of like creative things related to the Chamorro culture. But we usually get like migrant birds, and Joyce is one one of those birds, and she loves birds just like I do. And we're so happy to welcome you in our radio show. Hi, Joyce.
Thank you, Elena. Hello, listeners, and everybody.
It is amazing to have you here. And, you know, I can't wait to ask you all the questions I've always wanted to ask an artist. Me and Joyce, we started talking about art and we cannot stop. But I said, it's not fair. I guess we need to share it with our listeners. And if you do have a question about art, if you have ever tried to paint and you don't think you're good at it, or you don't think it's something that you're born for it, well, that show is for you. Because apparently, you know, everybody expresses the art of painting in a different way. Joyce, please tell us more about you. What brought you into drawing? What made you to be a painter? Why you can't give up on painting? Tell us more about it.
All right. Well, I had three children, and two of them went off to school, and I just thought, you know, I'm feeling the need to have some creative time. You know, all parents out there, you can imagine, it's kind of hard to find that special creative time for yourself, but you really need it. And my mom gave me for Christmas watercolor painting class, 6 weeks, once a week. And it came with babysitting. Yahoo! So I was so excited, and I had a wonderful experience. I was telling Elena that I wasn't a natural-born artist. I didn't take classes in school about art or didn't do art. But I just loved seeing it, and I thought, I need to learn how to do that. I think it would bring a lot of joy to me and hopefully to other people someday. So I did take the classes, and then, I just said, okay, and I kept going at it. And kept going. And I was telling Elena the first class, I had to draw a saddle, a horse saddle. And I looked out in the middle of the room at this horse saddle thinking, what did I get myself into? I can't draw a horse saddle. But I did my best. And I did my meager painting with just, you know, solid colors, small strokes, got enough down. The teacher came by and said, could I paint on your painting? I said, oh, absolutely, please. And she took with a great big fat brush and dipped it into some dark brown paint and went swipe across the seat of the saddle, part of it, which gave it a ton of depth. And I just went, oh, wow, that is so amazing. And there are so many tips like that that I learned through art that it was just really a fun journey to learn it. But it took a long time, and I tried to never give up, and I tried to practice.
I guess, Joyce, you're never bored. I mean, if somebody can say that they are bored in life, there is so much to do in painting.
There is. And, you know, after that, I was doing some painting and learning. I thought, I need to do a little more. So I volunteered at the museum to be an art docent to lead groups through. And they schooled us and taught us how to do things like that. And that was a really fun experience as well.
Fantastic. Art is something that many people are scared of. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't understand it quite. They don't think they're good at it. And I can share my personal experience. I always thought that painting is not for me. And my plan was when I retire, I will go to a painting class because I just don't want to admit that there is something I'm not good at it. Obviously, there's so many things I'm not good at it, and I'm growing in everything I think I'm good at it. But painting was not one of those. And so this Sunday, two friends of mine were saying, hey, Elena, why don't you come to a painting class? I said, painting class? I've left that option for when I retire. They said, you know, it's in the SDA clinic. You can come. It's quite therapeutic. And this is what we're going to talk about, how art can be used as a therapy. And why don't you come? I said, you know what? I don't have much to do. Let me come. And that was like a very revolutionary moment in my life because I really was struggling. It was a wet painting that we had to do. How do you say wet painting? Or
yes, wet on wet or dry paint on a wet paper. Yes.
Okay.
All of it.
We had to do some flowers and leaves, and she showed us how to do it, and I started doing it, and I looked around. Everybody's picture looks so great, but I said, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can, because Van Gogh says, when you start painting, or somebody, if your voice is telling you can't paint, keep on painting and silence that voice.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I will keep on going. And then in the middle, Joyce stopped and she said, wow, look, everybody at Elena's painting. And, I kind of was embarrassed, kind of put on spot. She's like, this woman is so creative.
And it was beautiful.
And I remember I said after this comment, I said, from now on, I'm going to have a self-esteem. Because if I was told that something I'm terrible at, that I have creativity, maybe I can consider that. But of course, it does matter if you have a good teacher that would encourage you instead of saying, hey, this is not for you. You better stick to business or you better stick to history or whatever you're doing. Why not? Painting, art, those are expressions for everybody.
And I told you to keep your beginning watercolor. So you will keep that painting
forever.
A long time. And in a year or two or 3 years when you've had more practice and you've taken more class, you will look back on that painting and go, oh, I have learned something. It's a great benchmark to keep. Yeah.
Right. Also, Picasso says, learn the rules how to paint so when you become an artist, you can break them.
That's right. Like a child.
And if there is somebody out there that struggles really with boundaries, art actually can really express yourself, and there is no end because creativity never ends. Mm-hmm. Joyce, which is your favorite art style? There's so many art styles you can get lost. And the moment you think that this is it, then somebody else comes with another idea. We can't keep up with all those styles.
No. And I do like experimenting with different styles. I've tried doing palette painting where you just take a palette knife and you just put the paint on with a knife. And that was really fun. I haven't done much. So that's a new thing for later. But I mostly like impressionistic style. I do like realism, but not as much as leaving a little imagination to the viewer. I learned that it's really fun for a viewer to look at a painting and say, wow, look for a few minutes and ask yourself, what is happening here? And it's almost like developing a critical thinking, mm-hmm. too. And so I do like that. But I do like being able to kind of know what I'm looking at. But I'm open. I'll be open.
I believe you develop more taste and more understanding the more pictures you see. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, can you be good in old styles of painting? Or once you start, you kind of like can master two or three? I don't know. I've never asked that question to anybody.
You know, I don't know. I have more to try. I've done some cube painting, some small like pointillism, where you're just putting a point, 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 point. I painted a tree like that, and it was really fun, and I actually liked it. And I used it in a collection of tree paintings on one painting board. But other than that, I haven't done a lot of experimenting.
I would think that anybody that ventures to paint should be mm-hmm. open to try different styles. I mean, we need to learn how to be bad at something. Yes. Because the more bad we are in the beginning mm-hmm. and then we persevere, the more things we can do, mm-hmm. the bigger our comfort zone is, and the more appreciative of the surrounding world and we become. Mm-hmm. And also, we become even more sensitive to people around us by appreciating those little details, those emotions that are inexpressed. I believe there is such a beauty in the depth of a soul of a painter.
You know, I was just, that reminded me that, you know, I've heard that sometimes when you take your camera out to photograph things because you want to remember them, I've heard some people say, oh, you should just leave your camera behind, just totally experience the moment. And I actually love experiencing the moment with and without my camera, because when I have my camera, I'm looking at the details of every bit of the photograph, the color, the shape, where this is going, where it's placed, and it helps me remember the moment even more.
Right.
So, yeah, that's been fun too.
Because when you have an event and you have an emotion, mm-hmm. it just becomes a memory.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how many memories you have, how many pictures you would, you know, pictures that somebody will go quickly through the museum. Maybe you will stop and you will ponder, and that mm-hmm. will bring so many emotions in you, mm-hmm. so many memories in mm-hmm. you, like making you living your life to the fullest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a great medium for memories.
That is amazing. I love so many different styles. I can't pinpoint and say I like only this. I like cubism. I like the post-impressionist. I like surrealist. Even Art Deco, Art Nouveau, and Romanticism, Symbolism. I like spiritual art as well. One of my favorite painters is Tintoretto. And I could not forget the moment that I was able to visit Washington, D.C. Gallery, that they had this great, exhibition from Tintoretto. But we'll talk more about art. We'll talk more about favorite painters right after the break.
We're going into a short break, so go ahead and give us a call at 671-686-9999. That's our text on WhatsApp. We're streaming live on Facebook. Go ahead and leave your comment in the comment section below, and we will get it answered. You can listen live online, joyfmradio.net. We'll be right back.
You can rent a pirate ship on the Mississippi River. You can buy a wristwatch that can hold an entire Asian meal to eat on the go. You can even buy chicken and waffle flavored popcorn. You live in a world of possibilities. Limits of ingenuity are tested and redefined. People have always wanted more, and God has always offered more. When you support what we do, you make it possible for people to discover and live an abundant life. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
CJ Usmasi, and thanks for listening to Total Health on Joy FM. We want to hear from you. Call in with your health-related questions at 472-1111 in Guam or in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, back to the show.
Well, we are back with more of our art therapy. I remember one time we had a listener from the correctional services, and he said, "Thank you so much for helping us with alternative ways of healing." And I believe art therapy is something that could truly help us. I was very passionate talking about Tintoretto, one of my favorite painters, but I also love Rembrandt. I love Dalí. He, you know what? He says so many interesting things. He said, "Don't worry about perfectionism. You'll never reach it." So don't worry about it. Just paint. It doesn't matter how it looks. Love Van Gogh, love Monet, and also Repin and the Russian school, like all type of painters. It's amazing. And you know, the beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So things that maybe I don't appreciate, you would appreciate it, but every art has a meaning for somebody that really understands it.
Yes, you're right. And the art is in the eye of the beholder. Everybody has, we all have what we like. You know, some people like this and that. And some of my favorites are, I love Monet, but I also love Manet. Very good artist.
Yes.
And I have some local artists, not local, but in the States. Michelle Davis, she's a painter in Spokane. She's painted in India, painted in Spokane too. Great painter. And also a lady I met online. Her name is Marianne Reams from South Carolina. Met her on Facebook, and I loved her art. And we have had a great communication and made artists as friends now. And that's been really fun.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, every era has different painters, and everybody is just so incredible. Everybody brings some new beauty that, you know, others have not expressed it. There are so many ways in which we can express ourselves. Joyce, let's talk a little bit about colors. There is no way that I will have a living artist here and not ask you about the colors. I don't know if it is right to say which is your favorite color to an artist. Can I ask that question?
You can, because ever since I was a little girl, green has always been my favorite color. And then when I got older, there was a book out there called Color Me Beautiful. And some of you may remember that book. And it was talked about what color looks best on you as an article of clothing or hat or whatever. And it turns out there's a winter, spring, summer, and fall. Four different kinds of people colors. And I'm a spring, which green is one of them. So sometimes you pick the favorite color that is good for you as well. So yeah.
For those of you that you're watching us live, you can see Joyce's dress with a spring dress with green color. And if you see me, I'm wearing very proudly a Picasso painting, which has a red color, which is my favorite color. But it is so incredible that we have all the rainbow. We don't have to just choose one color. Even if we don't stay look good in certain colors, colors can, you know, provoke different feelings in other people.
Watching them or seeing them in a painting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
And different colors really bring different emotions in us. That's why it's so good to explore all of them. You mentioned green, and I would like to share something. As I was coming back from from New Zealand, I flew over Guam and I was looking at the vast ocean. I had a window seat and it was just so beautiful. And then you look at the greenery on the mountains, and that reminded me of the health talk that says blue and green should be often seen, because those are the colors that really stimulate the creativity, the peace. It calms down your nerves. And there are so many studies, even Harvard have found, had come with a study that if we live in nature, we prolong our life by 12 years. I mean, we live in Guam. We have no excuse, you know, to just live in, you know, in a concrete place. But yeah. if we live in nature, close to the, where we can see green and blue, we can actually improve our mental state. Our mental state, our emotions can be improved if we see green and blue by 50%. So it means if you have somebody, a friend, or you're going through depression, through anxiety, get out. Get out on the sunshine, and especially early in the morning when the short waves of the light are the shortest, then it has a blue hinge. We don't see it, but our brain sees it. And if you wake up in the morning, I actually advise you that you set up your clock in the morning to see the sunset and you walk outside. It can be close to the sea or not, but this morning light, it helps you tremendously. You need 30 minutes of that so you can have a good day ahead of you. 30 minutes, we can all do it. The problem is nowadays that we're so staying inside. We picked up this Americanized Western world that we are all secluded inside. And the further away from nature we are, the more depressed and unhappy we are. So this is our time to get out and enjoy it. And as you said, green color, it actually is the nicest color to our eyes because it is in the middle range of the spectrum. It's at 555 nanometers, and it is really peaceful. If you're very stressed, you have some anxiety, you have exam to take or something, go outside. Enjoy Guam. See Guam in different eyes that you have seen it before.
And if you live in a country or a time when it's gray outside, you can just feel a dampening, you know, it's just gray. But when you see the gray and then you see a color right after that, they're more brilliant.
Oh, wow.
After a gray, you appreciate them so much more.
Wow, that you're making a very good point. I would just go ahead a little bit about the colors because it is good to start appreciating colors for what they are. Why it's good to have the sun outside shining? Because yellow, we associate yellow with happiness, with cheerfulness, with spontaneity. Orange, it brings enthusiasm, friendship, energy. Pink, some romance, some tenderness, sensitivity. Red color is for love, for passion, for anger, for danger. Most of the painters have been passionate. They're like, we rather die from passion than die from boredom, they say. Brown, the shadow color, it's genuineness, trust, nature as well. Black is mysterious. This, you know, you in those pictures that you kind of try to create some secret mystery in it, black color is there, contrasting. Purple promotes more creativity, royalty, mystery. Well, blue, calmness, spirituality, as I said. Turquoise, communication, compassion, freshness. And gray color, professional, serious, mature, conservative. What about white color? It creates more positivity and innocence and purity and light. It isn't that amazing having such a variety. And it's just not one color. I don't know how many colors are within those colors that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I was remembering a painter who he painted fairly dark pictures. But he often painted a window, a small window, somewhere in his painting for the viewer to escape.
Mm.
Which I thought, wow, that's an interesting concept.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, colorful. As you're mentioning that, I think God is leaving that window for us to escape, all of us. And that's why he has created his nature. Because blue and green should all often be seen, and that would help us. Many of us, we suffer from the nature deficit disorder, and maybe through that window we can escape and really boost our self-esteem, boost our calmness, improve our emotional state.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm gonna quote quote Claude Monet. He says, "Oh, color, that's my obsession, for torment or for joy."
I love that.
Joyce, we're talking about art therapy today because art is very therapeutic. I used to work in a pain management clinic, and the pain management clinic was called Medical Arts. Because we realized that only with narcotics, we're not helping our patients for their pain. But when we have those amazing pictures and then we play nice music, sometimes we have aromatherapy or a very nice smell, you know, fragrances going in the clinic, patients actually, their pain decreases significantly. And it really works. So we need to use those things. Even in the hospitals, I've heard patients that the hospitals that have art, patients have a shorter stay, the pain is less, and they feel more, you know, more at home, more alive, right? It creates a very good atmosphere for them. It's time for really for us to use, you know, art as medical methods for healing. We also, you know, I was thinking about art. Where is that word coming from? And I figure it comes from the Latin word, which means skill. Art, it means skill. And it's kind of intimidating because, you know, you feel like you have to have a skill in order to do it. And we live in a society that we kind of strongly profilize ourselves. And unless you're good, you should not attempt it. But it's actually more than that. Mm-hmm. Would you say that art is just a skill?
It's way more than that, yes. And because I post all my children's art pieces on the refrigerator, and they are the most beautiful art I can think of.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Even simple expressions. It's the expression, really, I think, that we need to value people telling their story through art or telling things that are important to them through art. Yeah, I think that inspires me. I love hearing people's stories. I like seeing representations of what, you know, their story. It's just helpful for me bonding with new friends and making new friends to hear their story. I do like
that. Right, and I believe we all have stories, and not just one. We have many stories that the world needs to hear it. And maybe they wouldn't have the time, but they can at least see it. Mm-hmm. And a picture worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. I would just briefly, Joyce, if you don't mind, mention how art can be therapeutic. And so if you're going through many, you know, painful moments, difficulties emotionally, physically, mentally, please give another, you know, thought on art, because art can be used in many, many conditions. As I said, in pain, even in acute illnesses, you know, it just lessens your difficulties to sleep and has many more benefits. Decreases your pain, you don't need to take as many narcotics, stimulates your creativity, stabilize even your vital signs, speed up your healing process, and increase your optimism and gives you more hope. Then there are several studies that have been done in patients with cancer, different type of cancer, and it seems that art really helps with the stress of the surgery and radiation and chemotherapy. There have been done so many studies in which it shows that it just defines women differently. They give themselves more of a self-worth than just thinking that they are who they are. They have the cancer and that's all about them. They actually are able to express their feeling even in a symbolic manner, especially during chemotherapies. Then it gives them some meaning. Actually, art creates meaning making, helps in dementia. There's so many more, but the music is cutting me short, so we'll continue after the break.
We're going into a short break. Text and WhatsApp your art therapy question to 671-686-9999. We're streaming live on Facebook. Go ahead and leave your comments in the comment section below and we'll get it answered. We're streaming on joyfmradio.net where you can listen live. More on art therapy and the effect on our health and we'll be right back.
Gifts are a sign of love. You love your children, so you provide for them. Your children give back through hugs, kisses, and laughter. It would somehow feel different if you only gave because you had to. God gave because He loved. He wants to take that same love and use it to give to others. When you support Joy FM, we feel your love every time you give. Not because you have to, but because you care. Thanks.
Welcome back. You're listening to Total Health on Joy FM. Call in with your health-related questions to 472-1111 in Guam. If you live in the CNMI, we want to hear from you too. Call 323-1113 or text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, here's more Total Health.
And we're back with more art therapy and the effect on our health.
Yeah, Scott, we're continuing because I'm like very excited with all the research that I found and all those conditions that, you know, art can help with. We are really not aware that art really can help many people with dementia. I know that Dementia Society in Guam, they're very strong in that. They have a leading artist and they have really expressed a lot of benefits from that. I know that they have those clubs that they gather together and they paint because, you know, it does help with some behavioral issues in dementia, Alzheimer, also decreases the stress that they have. It allows for some self-expression, also helps with the visual spatial perception, improves certain cognitive functions, and actually slows down the decline in patients with dementia. So it is certainly something that can be considered.
Wow, so many benefits.
So many benefits, and we are not even aware of that because we are so accustomed to go for the medication.
that is correct. So I heard you say earlier before we went into a break, art can also help with sleep.
With sleep?
Sleep.
Oh, sleep. Oh, yeah, certainly. It can reduce your anxiety before going to bed. I don't know about you, but there are many people that struggle financially before going to bed.
Right.
And you know, they're worrying in the morning. They have to wake up. They have to do that. They're not sure they will have the time for this and that and this and that. But when you see a picture, it brings you to a different reality. Especially when you see something in the past, you know, at that time it was very important. But nowadays, 100 years ago, after that, it has been forgotten. So why worry about something that in 100 years would not really matter? And it does help with the sleep, certainly. People with insomnia can try art. They can appreciate art. You can also see it. You don't have to paint it. But just surround yourself with more picture, with more meaning in life. So autism is also very, very helpful. We know that for different spectrum disorders. Also enhances the play therapy. And it improves the communication. It also becomes more easy for people with autism to express themselves and to communicate in a, you know, channel their way of addressing others and relating to them. Also improves their self-esteem and increases their inner strength and daily living skills by reducing the symptoms of their emotional disorder. Which I don't know. Have you seen how
amazing
people with autism draw? This is so that we don't have this mindset.
Right.
Yeah, and the vision that they have is just amazing. I'm in the process of adopting a child that has autism, and she draws all the time, time. She has her tantrums, but when she draws, she's at peace, and I know she's very happy. We also have found quite a lot of help in people with schizophrenia, and it actually enforces their creativity and facilitates the integrative therapeutic process when they interact with other people or their you know, medical providers. For the post-traumatic stress disorder, I know it's a big thing. We have it among veterans in Guam. Initially, it can serve as a trigger because some picture can remind you of something. But studies have shown that in a long term, really have reduced the anxiety. Because, you know, I'm not saying go and push yourself towards a trigger. But if you see a trigger, actually in psychology, it can be a blessing, because at least you have a little bit of the horror that you're, you know, expecting. And like that, if you overcome it, if you overcome every single trigger, it's not going to be overwhelming when you get everything at once. So in a long term, post-traumatic stress disorder, it has really been helpful. Also, if you feel like you want to let your emotions out but you can't, just paint something. It doesn't matter what. If you're feeling dark color, just paint everything in black. Get it out of you. Mm. Express it. Mm-hmm. That has really decreased the flashback and the nightmares people with post-traumatic stress disorder. Speak in colors. Maybe you don't want to talk. Maybe it's too confidential. Mm. Maybe you cannot really talk to your family about it. Get it out in colors. That certainly helps. Depression has been found to be significantly affected by art. It actually processes individually your emotions, and it helps you kind of to deal with it and to express them in a way that's not verbal. Because when you have depression, you don't always feel like, I want to talk about it. You might not even feel like painting, but you have to kind of a little bit push yourself towards that. There's so many artists that they say, you know, the painting, you kind of have to push yourself towards that, and then you can't really stop. Thomas Merton said that you can lose and find yourself when you're painting.
Nice.
It helps significantly children. It helps them to grow. Picasso says, I might learn how to draw Rembrandt in 4 years, but it takes me a lifetime to learn how to draw as a child. You know, free as a child. You don't care what mistakes you're going to do. And in art, mistakes are just some accidental endings, you know. It's they don't consider it mistakes, and that's fantastic. In veterans, we have seen that it's a very good additional therapy to the cognitive processing therapy, and we encourage people, that our veterans, to try, along with other therapies, psychotherapies, to go through painting. It helps with bereavement. If you have lost somebody that you really, really love, it might be too painful to paint them. It might be something that reminds you of them and you feel like they're close to you and you want to express it. Even if you don't know how to do a portrait, you can express it. You can show your love towards that person. It really helps when you're going through painful time. Eating disorders also have been found to be really, really benefiting from that, because it kind of helps to be an outlet for expressing emotions that patients, like, you know, stuff down, deep down in themselves. And it gives a better defense mechanism and authority over their feelings, which they feel that they have lost control. And also, the last one, it helps with daily challenges. Let's face it, we are all stressed. Most of us are burned out. We're seeing that we have no time even for art. But if you decide to spend some time, go outside on nature, appreciate nature, or paint something, paint a leaf, you will see the creativity in you will give you so much peace and so much meaning to everything you're doing. And you will realize that, hey, even though I'm burned out, I can still experience some of this world, some of this life. I still feel alive.
It is good to... Painting nature reminds me that you are giving glory to God for His creation by painting by using your creative abilities that He made you with and using them to glorify Him, to bringing His nature to the forefront and sharing it with people.
It also says you can never finish creativity. You know, use it up. Use it all up, because the more you do it, the more it comes.
Never it just ends.
Yeah, it's an incredible world. So, Joyce, you also like traveling. I love traveling. When for the first time I saw your book on the walking sticks, I was so impressed, because not only you're painting, and you have an incredible book, it's called Poetry Pie by Joyce Wilkins. you're not only painting, but you're also into poetry. How good is that? What a great expression of that. How did you get into all that?
You know, it started when all my kids were leaving the home. They all went to high school and college, and I was by myself at home with nothing to do. And I probably could have thought laundry and those kind of things, but something exciting. And I thought, what can I do for God? What can I use my passion? I'd already learned how to paint. How can I use that for God?
Amen.
And I had gone to a tea party where everybody brought a teacup to this tea party from their own home, and they told their story about why they brought this certain teacup. And I listened to all these stories as people stood up, and I thought, I am becoming friends with all of these people through one simple teacup, and I'm hearing their stories, and they're sharing the beauty and why and who gave it to them and all kinds of meanings behind it. And I thought, I am going to photograph teacups so I can write down stories about them, and I'll have these women's parties. Well, I started photographing the teacups with artistic things with them that tells a little bit about the teacup, like Paul Revere had two lanterns next to the teacup, little tiny ones. And people said, you have got to make a book out of these. I'm like, no. Books, I don't know how to copy and paste on the computer. I can't do a book. But people kept saying it, and I thought, you know, maybe the Lord is trying to tell me something. So I wound up learning how to do everything, and I created a teacup book. And it was a book I wanted to be able to put into any store, not a religious store necessarily, but that anybody would pick it up and go, oh, teacups. And they tell stories, and it was just a great opener for traveling, and I would take some with me, and somebody would say something, I have a book for you. And inside the book were also inspirational stories.
Aww.
So it became a ministry that far beyond teacup parties that I could have done. I can take this with me. And after that finished, I said, Lord, okay, that was a challenge for me to do. And there were tears and there were challenges, but what would you like me to do next? And we thought, you know, my husband and I, we have some walking sticks and they hold stories too. And there might be some beautiful photography that we could put with these walking sticks. And I gathered stories and I gathered walking sticks. Some people would give them to me. And so photograph them and put them into a book. And now I have another book that I can take with me and share with people. And often I will pray when I take books with me when I travel, especially the walking stick. Lord, find somebody who might need some of these inspirational stories, who you think would benefit from this and enjoy this. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has opened doors, or I'll go into a shop and see somebody looking at walking stick tags, you know, and I said, you know, do you have a walking stick? Yes, I do. And I said, oh, I love walking sticks. You know what? I have a gift for you.
Oh.
And I would go to my car and bring a walking stick book in, and they would grab it, and this woman said, oh, thank you so much. It's my birthday today.
Oh.
I have had that happen so many times to me, and just other people would come up and tell me something special about why this was, you know, a gift that was meaningful for them. And so the Lord has just really opened a lot of doors with that. And then the last one, Poetry Pie. Yeah, that was another one involving poetry and paintings. And I had to learn about that too. So very fun journey. And I have a really fun story if I can read just one poem from walking sticks.
Yeah, we're waiting for that.
They're walking sticks from around the world, and the places they'll take you. So photographs around the world, and then photographs of walking sticks and things that would go with it. This poem is called Your Shoes, and there's a pair of my muddy shoes in a photograph right now. I wonder where your shoes have been. What caused them to abort the way and wander through life's mud and grit to where you find your shoes today? Did you plod and drag at times? Did you run, compelled by fears, down a path of tragedy, drenched with sorrow, washed with tears? Or did your shoes jump off the path and take some joyous leaps and bounds? Or bushwhack through uncertainty, some shifting sands and shaky grounds? May I hear your story, please? Tell me where your shoes have been. Once I hear where you have walked, I will understand you then. And it was a reminder to me, writing it, to get to know people, ask about their stories, become friends, and then you develop trust between them to share further things about life and God and spirituality.
Yeah, and I saw you have a lot of pictures on shoes.
I do.
Now I understand why.
We're going into our last break. More on art therapy and the effect on our health. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Rick McConnell with the Disciple Tip. Recently, I was driving out in the country in mid-Michigan when I made a wrong turn and found myself on a nice, quiet road going the wrong direction. I was in the southbound lane. I needed to cross the grassy median to the northbound lane. No problem, I thought. Next exit, I'll just take it. Well, that exit never came. I drove and drove. I passed several overpasses, but no way to get off. After about 10 miles, I finally had to cut across the grassy median. There's a similarity here with real life. Often we make bad choices, assuming that any time we want, we can just exit out and be back on track. And then we find out a sad, harsh reality in life. Sometimes getting in is a lot easier than getting out. How many stories have we heard of someone who dabbled in something only for a few minutes, and it became a decades-long addiction? Like I found out with that one wrong turn in rural Michigan, some roads are easy to get on, but once you're on them, it could be a long way down the road before you can find the exit. A Disciple Tip.
Family-friendly radio, Joy FM.
And we're back with more Total Health. Give us a call with your medical questions. Number to call in Guam is 472-1111. If you're in the scene of mind, the number to call is 323-1113. Or you can text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. Now back to the program.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is our last segment of our show. I can have Joyce here for hours and we can just talk and talk and exchange some poetry. Joyce, I wanted to greet you with a quote from Leonardo da Vinci when you were reciting about the shoes and where they have been. It reminded me of a quote that says, "Painting is a poetry that is seen rather than felt. And poetry is a painting that is felt rather than seen."
Oh, beautiful.
So you have combined both. So it really applies to all our senses, and that it is incredible. Before I continue, I just want to have some time out for an advertisement. On the 1st of March at Agate, Santa Rita SDA, Seventh-day Adventist Church, we're going to have a betel nut workshop. And we're going to talk about art made of betel nut. It's not going to be, you know, all about the side effects. It's going to be something good for the community. If you know people that still chew betel nut, they're struggling or they're enjoying it, please welcome them to come to on the 1st of March at the SDA Church in Agate from 4 to 6. It's a workshop. We'll have mental health. We'll have medical support from the doctors and dentists and nurses from the SDA clinic. I promise you, we're going to make it very interesting. And we're going to bring some art into it. But I don't know, Joyce, if you have heard a story. It's written in my language, in Bulgarian, but maybe it's a common story that when Leonardo da Vinci was trying to make his portrait, he was looking everywhere for Judas. And he was looking and like, I don't know where I'm going to find this vicious, cunning, you know, backstabbing man. Who is going to be that man that I'm going to, you know, make the portrait? And finally, he found some guy at the pub club and, you know, he brought him and he started painting. And, you know, he's like, wow, this guy looks like Judah. And while he was painting, he saw a tear in the eye of the model. Mm. Oh. And he looked at the person and he didn't say anything. He finished his painting, and then he went and said, "Look, you know, now my picture is complete. I finally found the person, the last person mm-hmm. on that painting." Mm-hmm. And the young man said, "You know, it wasn't long ago that life took me into the kingdom of sin and addictions and, you know, enjoyment. And I ended like that. But my heart was so joyful when many years ago I was your model for Jesus too."
Oh my, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that it looks like an interesting story, but that person was touched again to become like Christ-like. Mm. And we are masterpieces, right? We are all in our journey of wholeness. Mm-hmm. What would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are on a journey.
And we are all masterpieces because nobody has my eyes and my voice and my hair and my shape of body. Doesn't matter what it is. Yes. We are all so different.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
But full of creativity from God. He created us in His image, so we are masterpieces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're so beautifully made. And, you know, I feel like I want to give glory to God for... you know, thinking that the world would be a better place if any one of us exists, and He made us as a, you know, as a outlet, as an expression of our parents' love, even though somebody will say, no, that wasn't exactly my case. But God wanted you to exist. God made you. God created you. And God keeps on investing in you to become like the best masterpiece the world have ever seen, that you may make the best impact. And no matter what you're going through, all your pain, God will color it in the different colors that at the end you will be even grateful for the dark times in your life, that they make the contrast in your life, and that would make even other people appreciate the path you have been through.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, you were wondering about a Bible verse, one of my favorite Bible verses that talks about creativity and art, but also is very, it's just an amazing thing. And it's Genesis 1:1.
Oh, wow, yes.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
God created the heaven and the earth and us in His image. And in His quest for creativity, He asked Adam to help Him name the animals. That was the first question God, the gift God gave to Adam. And I want you to help in this creation. I want you to name all the animals. That just seems like, wow, that is a great thing. And I think about God creating the animals, all the variety, the long-necked giraffe, the long-nosed elephant, the humorous baboon face. I mean, it goes on and on with God's creativity. And, but you know, God wanted us to enjoy His creation and also the creative process, just like He enjoyed it, I'm sure. And art is an expression or an application of human creative skill and imagination created by God. And it's for us to use and enjoy and uplift others and be uplifted by God's creativity. I have another just really favorite verse as well that goes along with what God has done for us in everything, every aspect of life. It's Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I love you. I love you."
Wow.
That is just, you know, that is what He wants to tell everybody, all those things.
I think you're very right. And He also expresses it in so many different ways. We are very proud, Joyce, here with the beautiful sunset we have, or sunrises. Mm-hmm. We also have those crepuscular type of rays when the sun comes out or goes down. And many times I wonder what mood God is in right now, that the whole sky is painted in purple. Mm-hmm. Or today God is in a blue mood, or he is in a green mood. And we have all type of colors in sunset, right, Scott? Oh, mm-hmm. It is incredible, is like the beauty we have in Guam.
Yes.
And God has those, his palette must be enormous. Mm. You know, okay, let's paint it today with this color, or let's put the mountains looking like blue, like according to the sky. Or today, we're going to put some angry colors, some redness there, you know, some pink. What is it? Pink in the evening? What was it? No, in the morning is a shepherd's warning. Like, for example, you know, putting some colors there just to alert us what's going to happen during the day. Even during a storm, you know, you have those colors. It's like, hey, something is happening. Prepare yourself. God is really speaking to us. Many times we say, where is God? I don't see God. I don't know where he is. He's right there painting the future for us. And he's making those colors to make us happy. Make us cared for, that we may see that there is a creator that wants to, you know, uplift us, change the environment in our lives. He thinks about all those details that sometimes we take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. He loves for us to be happy. He cries with us when we are sad. I think he wants the best for us, and that's what you want a father to do for you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, all the colors and all the flowers and all the trees, and we have such a variety in Guam. You can just be lost in the details. Mm-hmm. If we start even appreciating all the leaves and the golden ratio and how God has created, and this is all contained in a small DNA, RNA, you know, in the seeds. And he has put so much thought in all that, how it can spring up and give us joy and enjoyment when we are looking in those leaves. Those, you know, beautiful moments remind me of a story of a lady called Lydia Trotter. Joyce, she was a great painter in England. She was one of those like famous people that had a very promising future, but she gave up everything away to go and minister to the Muslim women in Algeria. She never married. She dedicated herself to the women in Algeria because she saw, you know, how suppressed they are, especially their emotions. And she wanted to teach them how they can paint so they can express themselves. And with all the paintings she would do from the camels in the desert and, you know, the oasis and all that, she will earn those money and she'll spend them on uplifting other women. Mm. I would think how amazing would be if all of us, like Joyce, would bring poetry, would bring some painting together. Even if we're not skilled, who cares? Mm. It's an expression of love. It's an expression of ourselves and our emotions and our skills. It doesn't matter what it comes. Mm. And that we'll be able to help and minister to others as Joyce does.
Mm, thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for bringing so much joy into our Joy FM radio show today. And thank you for the beautiful Bible verses. I certainly will look into art in a different way. And every time I look at art, I will remember about God, I will remember about you, and I will remember about the ministry we can do to others. And take art as a medicine.
Yes. Thank you both once again, and thank you to our listeners and viewers for lending an ear. Tune in next week for more Total Health.
Be sure to check with your doctors before making any sudden life changes discussed today. Total Health is brought to you in partnership with Guam Seventh-day Adventist Clinic. Where health is their mission. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thank you and Sejuas Maasi for listening to Total Health right here on Joy FM.